If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
BrosPod is, of course, brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELEAV50, that's B-L-E-A-V 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome to a live edition of Bill Roden on Sports. And I normally say on an undisclosed location, but we are at the U.S. Open. It's kind of great. We haven't done a live broadcast in quite a while. So we're here, as you can hear, disco music in the back. Here holding it down with my friend and co-host, the great Jamal Murphy, who is actually here. This is the first time we've been in the same room for quite a while. Now remember, we got just one microphone, so we're passing the microphone back and forth. So hey Jamal, what's happening?
I'm good. Also, for the listeners, I'm adjusting the sound, make sure we're not too loud, too low for you. So excuse that. But yeah, we're live here at the U.S. Open. A great event, especially this year, especially for the men. As far as we're concerned, as far as BrosPod is concerned, we have the first black male semifinalist since Arthur Ashe. Can you believe that? Since
at the U.S. Open?
At the U.S. Open, yes.
So that'll be since what, 1972. Oh, 72.
1972. Wow. I looked that up. I had to look that up. And he's the first American male to get to the semifinals since Andy Roddick in 06. 16 years, man.
Wait a minute. Why is one 1976? I mean 2006, but the other one is 1972. What's 1972?
No, 1972.
Oh, black male. Oh, black man. Yeah.
2006. American male. Wow. Remember, he is an American, Bill.
Despite what people would say, he's a brother. Yeah, so we're here very excited about that. Tiafoe, you know. I'm kind of excited. You know, I wrote a piece today for Anscape, formerly The Undefeated, about, we had this conversation with Martin Blackman, head of development, about where do we go from here? Because I was saying after Serena had retired and we were all excited, it's like a letdown. And I'm like, man, now it feels like we're at the very bottom of the hill, starting all over again. And he was trying to make the case, no, we're not starting all over. We got a lot of young black women, and Serena has taken us to a big mountaintop. So we're not at the bottom of a mountain. We scale one mountain. Now we got to climb another mountain. That was black folks. We're always in mountain. But, you know, one of the things we were talking about is money. Because the whole idea is, how can you get young black men to try to make a career out of tennis as opposed to the NBA or even the NFL? We start looking at these numbers, man. I think we made a mistake. We looked at Kyler Murray's number. He just signed this hell of a contract. Deshaun Watson, despite all his legal troubles, gets like 230-something money guaranteed, you know. And then Lamar Jackson, without an agent, I guess he's going to get paid too. So I don't know. I meant to ask you, you got two young kids coming up. What's the best deal? What's the best sport? If you're going to be obsessive about it, what's the best sport to be obsessive about?
Wow. That's a great question. I mean, first of all, as you know, really probably the best answer is no sport, right? You want to get them to excel in other areas, because it's still, no matter what sport it is, we're talking about the money you make. Remember, this is the cream of the crop are going to make this money. And then not only that, the cream of the crop of once you – first of all, the cream of the crop makes it to the professional level. Then the cream of that crop makes the real money, right? So even we were talking about the U.S. Open. You have Tiafoe. The winner of the U.S. Open makes $2.6 million. There are only how many winners of the U.S. Open? That's a tough deal to win that. And that's going to be your biggest purse?
I guess that might be the worst news you get. If Kareem's over there, you know, I want to go on tour. And you're like, oh, man. Yeah, because you're going to have to subsidize that. You know, you got to pay your way to places and double up in hotels and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, and I guess all this stuff is very competitive. But in terms of best buck, it's probably baseball. In terms of not taking the wear and tear on your body. But it takes so long. You got to do single A. Probably the best deal is to get yourself a scholarship somewhere and then say, screw it.
That's, you know, and a lot of people figure that out. Like, that's the goal. Get, you know, at least get a scholarship so the parents don't have to pay the tuition. You can get a good education. That's number one. But, I mean, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the best road, I think what you're really getting to is not the easiest, but the most accessible. Right, and that's probably still basketball, because you need the least amount of money to play that sport to become good at it, right? You can go to the playground still, you know, to some extent, because AAU now, that's expensive too, but it's less expensive than even baseball, as you mentioned. That's baseball. Very expensive. Yeah. Once you get into high school and you're trying to be on the travel teams and all that kind of stuff, football maybe is one of the cheaper sports because. You know, America's all about football. They're gonna, you know, you'll find people to subsidize that for you.
How cheap is football now? I mean, when I was in high school, you know, public high school, you got your own equipment. I don't know. I really don't know the state of. I guess you go out for your high school football team, and I guess they give you your armor, they give you a shoulder pad, helmet, all that. So I guess to that extent, you don't have to pay for equipment, you know. And then it's just a matter of, you know, being good and maybe going to. Some summer camps or something like that. So maybe football might be the easiest entry point. You know, it might be the most brutal. You may not be able to think straight. You may not be able to walk. You know, but at least that might be the easiest entry point. So what's the significance, do you think, of Tiafoe? I mean, I guess it's not the same buzz. Obviously, Serena won like lots. But the black man in tennis, man, has been, if you think about it, 1972, the last time a black male advanced to this point in the U.S. Open, that's like, man, I was like 22 years old. It's like unbelievable. I don't know. So are you looking forward to this match? And tell, you know the kid he's playing, because there's no walk day at the beach.
No day at the beach tonight, because he's playing the guy who many people think is going to be the next one. He's playing against Alcaraz, Carlos Alcaraz, or Carlito, as the Spanish know him. He's a prodigy. He's I think he's 20, 19 or 20. He's already ranked in the top five at that age.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh, wow. He had an epic match against another young up-and-comer from Italy, Sinner, and he won that in five sets. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough one. But as far as your question goes, as for Tiafoe, this is huge. Yeah. And it even, you know, crept up on me how huge this is. I'm really just thinking about it fully based on your question, because this is huge. I mean, 1972?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't born in 1972. I never got to see Arthur Ashe, you know, play. We know, you know, the legend that he is. You know, his name is on this building that we're looking right at right now. He has a statue out here. So, I mean, for him to be the first black tennis player to reach the semifinals since then says a lot. You know, you talk about Serena. It's not just Serena. We've had, you know, Osaka won the U.S. Open. On the women's side, there have been a Sloane Stephens won the U.S. Open a few years ago. We've had this discussion last time we were here. Last time we did a podcast from here pre-pandemic, I think that was one of the big topics. Like, what's up with the black males? Right. Okay, the women are succeeding. What's it going to take to get a black male in this position? And suddenly we have one. And he has this a story to tell. I mean, he didn't get here because of any kind of privilege or, you know, it wasn't like he came from a rich black family and they had him playing tennis. He got here because his father was part of the construction of a tennis court or club in Maryland. And he gets to play for free in the, you know, in the facility because his father was part of, you know, building as a construction worker or something like that. And then he moves all the way up to this point. And he's still the only one.
There's nobody else like on the horizon. So if he doesn't do it, we may be looking at another 22 years, you know. But I guess, you know, I mean, I guess the problem is, like, we're debating whether we're going to the Jets on Sunday, you know. And that's part of the problem is, like, you know, the NFL, the NBA has got a very defined pipeline. You know, they've got a throat hold, a chokehold on black men in professional sports. And you might have, like, you know, an outlier playing soccer or something like that. But pretty much it's you know, tennis is kind of like an outlier. I think there may be a few guys, you know, but pretty much Tiafoe is a guy. I'm trying to think of what other sport. I never talked to him about this. I mean, what else would he have played? Whatever. I'm sorry, folks, we're out here. He was going to, you know, imbibing. But what else would he have played? You know, you just think about it. This might be, unless he boxed, you know, and who wants to do that? You know, I said, what other sport would he have played? Probably would have been soccer, or he would have been like a defensive back or something like this. So this really may be the best sport for him. All right, enough of that. NFL. See, that's part of the problem. You know, we were going to have Kurt Streeter on, but I don't know where Kurt is. You know, Kurt is my colleague. He's at the New York Times. Was a pro tennis player, so he could probably talk. You know, and Kurt did actually play for a while. He was on the tour for a while, but you know, I think that's just such a lot. Our friend, a friend of the show, Ken Shropshire. His son was trying to be on the tour, but it gets to be a point. He said, "You got to get a job, man, because it's too hard." So we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to it. We're recording this at about 5. What time is it? Like
6:15.
6:15. So it's at 7. So this will be an abbreviated version. So I'm kind of excited to see it. I'm just thinking, we've been here before, man, and we're thinking about what a great day it would be, what Sunday would be like. And I'm thinking, man, how many times have we done this? And then it's you know. So I don't know. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, it's 6:15. Tiafoe plays Alcaraz at, you know, approximately 7 o'clock tonight, semifinal. Big match. And he's 24 years old. So, and
he, like, what do you say, 18?
Yeah, well, yeah, Alcaraz is about 19, 20. So, he, you know, it's a, and Tiafoe will, he's been explaining to people, you know, he thought he'd get to this point a little sooner, but that was probably part of the problem. He kind of took it for granted. He started taking it more seriously in terms of how the conditioning and the work ethic he needed to get here. And now he really surprised people. I don't think anybody expected him to get to this point this year, even though he's like the top 20. I think he's 22, ranked in the world. So, which is not bad, but, you know, to get to the Final Four of the U.S. Open wasn't expected. But he's here, and he's playing better than he ever has. Something has definitely clicked for him. He's a, you know, super athlete. I mean, he's very athletic, and so is Alcaraz. So that's why I give him a shot. In fact, he beat Alcaraz in the last time they played, and it was not in a Grand Slam. I think it was like in a three-set match. So he, you know, he might have some confidence coming in. But I think, you know, everybody recognizes that Alcaraz is the, you know, is one, you know, maybe the number one prospect coming. I mean, he's looked at as like the next Nadal. And this is his first semifinal in a Grand Slam. So it'll be fun. I think this is the matchup I wanted to see. I really, you know, if Tiafoe win or lose, this is what I wanted to see him play against, you know, the two young guys. It's going to be a different brand of tennis because it's going to be two serious athletes who can get to every ball. And, you know, it should have the U.S. Open crowd, the Arthur Ashe crowd, rocking. So we shall see. And, you know, next time we talk to you, you know, we'll talk about what the outcome was. But I guess it's NFL time.
What did you think? I mean, the other person is Coco Gauff. You know, she was going to be another one. And I guess that's what got me thinking about what a steep mountain this is. I mean, you know, I guess it's probably not fair. Serena won so many matches. And as somebody said, Serena wasn't Serena until she won that first. You know, you got to win the first one. Although the problem is that you had her sister. Her sister had basically been leading the way. You know, so she didn't. It would be like if Coco Gauff had like an older sister who'd already like won like two Grand Slams and won Wimbledon. And now here comes her little sister. And that has to give you credit as opposed to you just kind of out there by yourself. And I like Coco Gauff. I mean, she's really matured and all that, but I guess with all these people, man, when you think of somebody like Serena Williams or Venus or any champion, Federer, and what it takes to, I mean, like Tiafoe, these guys are trying to win one, but what's it like if you've been winning shit for decades? You've been winning like, I mean, 23, you know, and are you prepared as a competitor for that? I mean, that's a whole nother level. Are you prepared like year in, year out, every time you play a match, whether it's some match in buttfuck Tennessee somewhere, somebody's trying to take your head off. Like there are no days off. Every time you step on the court, somebody's trying to like, you know, compete to beat the shit out of you. And to me, that's a whole nother mindset. Well, Tiafoe is just trying to win one, but, and then he's okay, I'm going to be in condition. But what this means, man, if you're going to make a commitment to being great, you have to be ready every single match. You got to keep yourself in shape. And I don't know how many people, if they said, you know what, is it really worth it to do that? I'm good. Like kind of like your boy who plays with the Lakers, Anthony Davis. That's what I sense. And guys like Ben Simmons. But Anthony Davis said, I've won one champion. I'm good. You know, let me coast on that, as opposed to guys like LeBron or even Tiger Woods. It's just, that's the thing I'm thinking about, man. You look at Serena and these women, you know, who she beat, and they're thinking, we're like 27 years old. This chick is like 40 years old and beating the hell out of her. What does it take to be like that?
Yeah, you're asking too much, Bill. You know, you can't ask for that. You can't. You're talking about a handful of people, a handful of goats. You just mentioned in the goat conversation, right. And those are just otherworldly people. There are just so many levels, right? There's the levels that don't even can't even play in high school. Then there's the levels that you make it to college. If you make it Division I college in any sport, that was very successful. Right. So then you make it to the pros. I mean, it's just like that upper echelon level, and it is unfair. I was going to say it's almost unfair. It's unfair to even expect that of anybody. You know, if it happens, then you're like, wow, that like that person was unbelievable. You're talking about Serena. Serena's level is only, I mean, first of all, she's arguably the best tennis player ever, especially on, you know, on the women's side, for sure could be the best player ever. But you still have you're putting her in a category, Martina Navratilova, Steffi Graf. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only like three. You know, so I mean, it's unfair. You know, it's like when Sloane Stephens won. We're like, oh, can she be the next Serena? No. Like, it was unfair. I feel bad even uttering that sentence.
But when I was looking at Coco Gauff, everybody, they were cheering so much for her. I don't know if they're cheering for her because, like, she's, you know, from the United States. I said black, not because of that, probably. You know, because everybody wants to see the next. You know, Serena was so much fun. You know, we'd come out here for like more than a decade, right? More than a decade since the 90s. And coming out here at the U.S. Open meant Serena time, you know. And without her, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess for the casual tennis fan, you know, I guess they're the ones who knew. And actually, I'm kind of like the casual tennis. I mean, to me, Serena was tennis. Venus was tennis. Like Tiger Woods was golf. Otherwise, I'm like, let me move on, you know. Watch the NFL. So we'll see, man. But, I mean, you're right. For me to even suggest that about this kid, Tiafoe, he's just trying to win, like, one. You know, that's it. That's the only thing he's trying to do. Let me just win one. And maybe he'll say, hey, man, if I can win one, I'm good. Maybe in the next 5 years I win a couple. But I want to enjoy myself. I don't want to be this obsessive guy. You know, so, you know, you're right. You're right. So, NFL. Quickly, NFL. You saw the game last night. You saw the game last night. The Rams got destroyed by Josh Allen and the Buffalo. Yeah, it's a long season. I mean, it's a long season. But it just seems like Buffalo's kind of ready. You know, Buffalo's ready. You know, I don't know how did Matt Stafford look?
Honestly, he looked okay. He looked okay. Like you said, it's the first week. You don't want to jump to any conclusions. He looked fine physically, but the Rams didn't look the same. Obviously, they don't have Odell Beckham Jr. It looked like their only offensive weapon was Cooper Kupp, and you know that was like all they had. They didn't have a running game. The defense wasn't as good as Buffalo's defense. I mean, they got outclassed. But, you know, first game. Who knows what they're going to look like week 15. So, I'm not going to go overboard. But Josh Allen, he looked great. I mean, I know, you know, Buffalo's like the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, they didn't do anything to dispel that. So, we'll see. Josh Allen looks great. We'll see if he can get it done. But, you know, you got Mahomes is still out there. And there are two guys – before we get out of here, just I want to focus on before Sunday comes. There are two black quarterbacks, and I brought this up with Solomon Wilcott's last episode. Two of those guys, Trey Lance and Justin Fields, and that's who I'm looking at this Sunday coming up. And they actually play against each other. San Fran plays Chicago. Chicago's supposed to be terrible this year, but you know when I look at Justin Fields, even in preseason, I mean, he looks the part, even more so than Trey Lance to me. He just looks, and it makes sense. I mean, he was at the Ohio State guy. He's been on the big stage before. He was drafted higher, I think. No, actually, he went lower than Lance, surprisingly. But
San Francisco traded up.
Yeah, but you know they're giving Lance a chance. He's taking over for Garoppolo. He gets the reins, so it's going to be a lot on him. I think you know I have confidence in him, but I actually look at. Justin Fields as being even more ready. I was more impressed with him. And I think he's going to surprise people because Chicago, there's not much around him, but I think he's going to show people that how good he is. That's just my prediction. And you can get on me after week one if it's the opposite, that's fine. But I think I have a lot of faith for some reason in Justin Fields, just from his demeanor and the way he looks, even in preseason and last season. He did some good things. And Lance, I'm just hoping for the best because you know, he has the talent, it looks like, but, you know, that's a lot on his shoulders.
Yeah. The only problem with Justin Fields, A, he's in Chicago. But when is the last time an Ohio State quarterback I mean, who's the last great quarterback that Ohio State, you know, Art Schleister or somebody? But so we'll see. No, for me, the story of the year is Lamar Jackson. To me, you know, we're all sold on kid in Kansas City. We're all sold on Mahomes. We're kind of sold on Josh Allen. You know, but to me, I really want Lamar Jackson to do well. I want him to lead Baltimore to the Super Bowl, because basically what he's telling the organization is that I'm betting on myself. Okay, I'm betting on myself. You guys are going to have to pay me, you know. So I hope that, A, he leads him to the Super Bowl. And I also think if a guy like Lamar goes to the Super Bowl with his style of play, because people still are not sold on Lamar. They're still saying you can't win a Super Bowl playing, quote-unquote, like that. If you listen to these guys, they're like, yeah, we've got to run around, make a play. They always say that. They got to run around. Yeah, run around, play. Yeah, like, it's like you're in the jungle. You guys just run around. Run around, make a play. But that's they always like dismiss it. Well, yeah, you got a guy like Lamar running around, making plays. like he's just some wild animal somewhere, just run around, making plays. As opposed to, you know, even when they talk about Josh, well, yes, it's very. They don't say Josh running around, making plays. you listen to that. You listen, and they just kind of dismiss it. Well, you got these guys. You get a guy like they would run around. You're like, no plan. You just got to fucking run around on the field. So I hope that he runs around and makes a bunch of plays and leads Baltimore to the Super Bowl. Really, like, because I think if he does that, I think people still resist it. But at least for that year, people say, damn, man. You know, that running around. Yeah, they may say running around with a little more reverence. Well, he's running around with a plan. You know, so that's what I'm looking for. And the only good thing if our guy Te'Afo loses, we'll be out at the game one. We'll be out at the Jets game, you know, with and that should be great, because the Jets have nothing.
Yeah. Are they letting us in the locker room?
I think there is locker room access. And we may even have our two things. We got to wrap it up. I'm looking forward to your. Are you going to do your weekly black quarterback rankings?
Black quarterback rankings. Yep.
Yeah, that was a big hit. You know, the black quarterback rankings. And then I think we may get one rookie. Our guy Jared Wembley said that we might be able to get one Jet rookie, and over the course of a season, like for, you know, it talked to him about what's it like being a NFL rookie. So stay tuned for that. That could be fun. So yeah, man, that's it. This will be a short and sweet version of Bro's Pod. We're glad we could. I think the last time we did this was pre-pandemic, right?
Yep.
Wow. So, but it's always fun to be kind of out and about among the people, you know, running around. I know everybody wants to go see Te'Afo.
I wonder why?
Can he be the next? Yeah, but 1972, man. That's like
crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, any closing thoughts about anything?
Like I said, interested in seeing Te'Afo. This is gonna be a great match tonight. Hopefully, whatever happens, he can build from this, and it's not just a one one time thing. And I'm co-signing what you're saying about Lamar Jackson. Whenever he's healthy, he's been a bad man, right? To quote, you know, Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith says that about Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson has been a bad man. Whenever he's healthy, they had so many injuries last year, but when he was healthy, they were relevant. And they were, like, on top of the division. Then he got hurt, you know, so hopefully he stays healthy. And he's betting, like you said, he's betting on himself. The only thing that could derail him is, like, a career-threatening injury. But that... does that happen anymore? I mean, with the way people come back from Achilles injuries now and knee injuries now.
Well, will you be the same? I mean, the thing is, you know, his game is so predicated, kind of like with Michael Vick. And, you know, Michael Vick ultimately changed his game a little bit, too, by the time he got to Philadelphia. You know, he was still kind of down, but he wasn't running around. he was actually staying in the pocket a little more, throwing more. So I don't know how many more years left we've got of this Lamar Jackson. of the guy who's this greatest athlete on the field. And one thing we did not mention, I don't know, we talked about Deshaun Watson, but are you looking forward to that at all? Back in week, what is it? Week 15, 14 or something?
Yeah, no, we'll get there when it comes. I'm not gonna think about that for a while. I got to think also that it'll be interesting how he plays when he comes back. There's no way this hasn't had some kind of mental effect on him. Will he be the same player?
Right.
You know, how long will it take him to be the same player? I mean, it would affect me, I tell you that much. So, I mean, but at the same time, we talked about this last week. I mean, he acts like he didn't do anything wrong, so maybe it won't affect him.
You're right. It's just business as usual. I wonder how he's working. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. All right, everybody, listen, hope you guys are enjoying this end of summer. Hope you had a very safe summer. Hope you're still taking care of yourselves. You can listen to our podcast. Be sure you subscribe.
Yeah, definitely subscribe. Listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Bros Pod, Bill Roden on sports on all mediums. Follow us on social media. You've been putting up a lot of great U.S. Open content on Instagram at BrosPod. Follow us on Twitter at BrosPod. And of course, we'll be back. Next time we talk to you guys, you know, we'll see how Tiafo did, and we'll see how that first week of the NFL season went.
Get that booster shot this out. Whatever they come up with, take it. All right, y'all. Stay safe. God bless. See you next week.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.